thank you for that. Wanted to say to those that are signed up for the Rise Up Retreat next weekend that I will be sending you information in regards to the retreat and what you need and things like that tomorrow. So you'll be getting that. If you were wondering some of those things, do not worry. Or as I guess the Bible says, let not your hearts be troubled. I will send you those things. Looking forward to next weekend. Looking forward to the wonderful time that we'll have a fellowship. Wonderful time that we'll have of studying things such as prayer and how to reach out to others better. And then also the events that we'll have on Sunday afternoon and the lessons and things on Sunday during our services too. So look forward to that. Pray about that and hope that that brings much spiritual growth in all of us and all those that are involved. Also would ask for you to pray for my mother. She'll be having surgery tomorrow in Mississippi. And that you pray for her that she would have a good outcome and her health would be improved. I would appreciate that a great deal. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 says this, God says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." You know, the Israelites were leaving God. The northern kingdom who Hosea is writing to or have been steeped in idolatry and sin. Those things that people are steeped in when they do not retain God in their heart, as Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter 1. Because of this lack of knowledge, because they had forgotten God, because they had forgotten His Word, they were destroyed. They were destroyed spiritually because of the sins that came from such a lack of knowledge, but they were only 25 years from knowing the judgment of God physically, as God would destroy the northern kingdom and they would cease to exist as a people any longer. They would no longer be His priest. They would no longer be His people. And in that day, 25 years later, God would not remember their children when He brought His judgment upon them. And yet the root cause here in Hosea is a lack of knowledge. Not just knowledge in general, not worldly knowledge, but a lack of knowledge of God's Word, of God's will. You know, I want you to consider an aspect when he says here, because you have rejected knowledge. I want us to consider an aspect of the word rejected here. It is literally saying that the people had thrown God's knowledge away like trash. They had seen God's knowledge nothing more than garbage and had tossed it away. Today, many people risk being destroyed, just as the Israelites were spiritually. They risk being punished by God because they do not consider the study and knowledge of God's Word as ultimately important in their life. A church one time in another state asked their members some questions. They wanted to see where their members were in respect to God's Word. And they asked the questions, and 36% of the members could not tell how many books were in the Old Testament. 36% could not tell whether it was humility, mercy, or patience that best described Job. 34% could not tell a book in the New Testament where the plan of salvation could be found. 75% could not tell that Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 was an example of the church, early church taking the Lord's Supper. 45% said that they were saved by faith alone, which is never said in Scriptures. 44% believed that the first century church, 44% believed the first century church was ruled by one elder. The Lord's church in America has been in decline. It has been struggling with false teaching because of a lack of knowledge. Last century, when the church was its strongest, we were known and acknowledged as people of the Bible. We were known to be people, and I'm not saying that everybody knew the Bible from cover to cover, but I'm saying that as a group, we were known as people that were serious about Bible study, serious about Bible knowledge, and serious about teaching that Bible knowledge to others. There's an old preacher story. You never know about preacher stories. You know, preachers hear preachers tell stories, and they heard preachers tell that story, and you really don't know if this story is actually true or if some old preacher just made it up. But it said one time that there was a court case, and they didn't have a Bible to swear on, so they just called a member of the church to come, and they put his hand on his head and swore on him because they knew it was probably in his head there. Oh, if they would say those things about us today. One of the reasons that we do not have that kind of reputation anymore is, to be quite honest and to be quite to the point, we don't deserve it. So many members do not see knowing God's Word in depth as important anymore. They will study secular things. They will get masters. They will get doctorates. They will do large papers and write on all kinds of things and learn all kinds of things. Solomon said books, they'll never end. You can just keep reading them. Do all that, but we never read and really study the book that is most important. We never put the effort in that we put in to get our degrees into God's Word. Every member in this congregation needs to take advantage of the learning opportunities that are available. Learning opportunities of Bible class and study times that the elders have made available and that are available in other ways as well. Parents, you need to take advantage of these things for your children's sake. And I cannot stress that enough, and I'll illustrate that in just a moment. You need to make certain your children are not only at class, you need to make certain that your children have prepared for class. I guarantee you, you don't let them go to school unprepared. Why in the world do you let them come to God's study unprepared? You teach them a priority in that. That what they learn out there in the world is more important than what they learn here. What they learn here. Make sure that they are not only prepared, but that they are participating in a worthwhile and growing way in that class because their souls depend on it. A church in Louisiana was concerned because they realized that they were losing 60% of their young people between the ages of 18 and 25. They were falling away not to return again to the Lord's church, and they were concerned about that. So they did a survey over time, and this is what their survey found. When both parents were faithful and active in the Lord's church, 93% of those children remained faithful. When one parent was faithful and active in the Lord's church, 74% of those children remained faithful. When parents were sporadic with their attendance, only 53% of those children remained faithful. When parents attended Bible class only occasionally, a horrifying statistic rose up that only 6% of those children remained faithful. 6%. Are we hearing that? Are we understanding that? Do you hear what that statistic is saying? 94% of children that are not brought to Bible class will tend not to be faithful. You think it's important? It was in that survey. If you are a parent that is not bringing your child to Bible class, that should scare you to death for the spiritual well-being of your child. So what if you make them a millionaire? So what if they become the president of the United States if they lose their soul? What have they accomplished? To scare you to death. people ask, why do we need Bible class? Where is Bible class in the Bible? And I understand where the Bible class concept began. You know, back in England, and they a bunch of children were running around during the church service, and a man gathered them up and started teaching them. And that's really where the concept of having Bible class along with a worship service kind of began, had its roots. And I understand that. But, you know, that's really not why we do it, because somebody started it way back in old England. And Bible class has changed, hasn't it? I figure some of you that have been around a while can remember that Bible class is not exactly like it was years ago. When my great-grandfather was preaching, he would preach for 2 hours. See, I come by it honestly. He'd preach for 2 hours, and then they'd have lunch. Maybe we should just, y'all start bringing sack lunches. That'd be easier on you. They'd have lunch, and then he would get a chair and set it out under the oak tree, and they would sit down around him, and they'd spend 2 or 3 more hours in a Bible study, just asking him questions and him answering those questions and discussing those questions. So that's how they did Bible class. Very different than the way we do it here. The whole congregation sat there. There wasn't kids' classes and adult classes. There was just class with my great-grandfather. So it's changed. You know, the way that we make it, divide up, all together, whatever it is really a matter of opinion, but it is fulfilling a biblical responsibility. Matthew 28, verse 19, when we see the great commission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Holy Spirit, the next thing that it says then in verse 20 is teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and Lord, with you always, even to the end of the age. And so Bible class is really about taking those disciples that have been baptized into Jesus Christ and teaching them to observe all things. We've got to have a means to do that. And so that's what Bible class does. It's what it helps with. We do it in a lot of ways. Preaching right now, we're doing it. But it is one of the means that our elders have decided to do that. You know, there is a difference, though, between sermons and Bible class times. You know, sermons, a lot of times, you know, I'm going to have to preach it in 20 or 30 minutes, and that's it. I'm going to have to end it, unless it's like a series sermon. But if I really don't feel like, you know, it got done, probably not going to get to come back and do it again. Sermons are kind of like that. Where Bible classes, we can kind of extend them, right? If there's a lot of comments and we feel like it's not quite sinking in, or you know, people are asking a lot of questions, you know, it's easier to kind of just say, okay, well, we'll just look at that again next week, right? Or you don't want to hear this sermon again next week. But it also, you know, sermons are not really an easy time necessarily to ask questions. And as we have the corporate group all together here, it's sometimes kind of hard to be in that kind of format. But Bible class does allow us to do that. It allows us to ask questions if we don't understand. And so it has a great value there. We also tend to break down into smaller groups. Now, we break down into small groups. You can only really know, statistics say, you can only deeply know where you really know individuals. You can only really know 69 people in your life. And so, you know, we have over 300 people this morning. It's very hard for us to know everybody really well. And yet, when we have classes, we break out into smaller groups. It makes it a little easier to kind of know people. There's a fellowship aspect to it. So it helps us to understand and to know each other better. So sermon time, definitely, they each have their own advantages. But we need to understand that there is a need for both. You know, there are several ways that Bible class is important to us, and I want us to think about them for a few moments. First, Bible class helps us to grow spiritually. There are so many compromises to the truth today. So many Christians cannot adequately identify these compromises, nor can they adequately combat them because of a lack of knowledge. So many are falling away from the truth and being destroyed spiritually because of that lack of knowledge. They don't understand, they can't figure it out because they never studied to understand and to figure it out, and so they just quit. May that not be us. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, talking to elders, says, hold fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. And I know and I understand that people say, well, hey, that's not what those men that become elders had to learn those things before they became elders. Men, you need to be prepared now. You didn't become men by becoming elders and then learning how to refute. They already knew. That's what made them qualified to be elders. We need to be studying. Ladies, too, the qualifications of elders aside, just a few, are qualities that every single one of us need in our lives. In this verse, when you talk about what's being said there in Titus, holding fast the faithful word, exhorting in sound doctrine, refuting those that contradict, this is talking about understanding the deeper, more technical aspects of God's word, not just being able to say the five things of the plan of salvation, or six if you know. It's not talking about that. I'm talking about why I need to be baptized, why you need to confess, why you need to believe, why that's important, how that comes about. Getting down into it and understanding it better and deeper as we go through life. Explain to those who through ignorance or determination are teaching that which is wrong. Many Christians these days are not that serious about their Bible knowledge. They don't really want to know that much. And it breaks my heart, and I know if it breaks my heart, it has to be breaking God's. Because He cares much more than I do. You know, I'm so inspired by a man I met in Tanzania. Probably told you about him. But he's 78 years old. And he went back to school, gave his life for 2 years to preaching school, so that he could go back home and convert his 7 children. 2 years to learn God's Word to a degree that he could go back and feel like he could teach his children and bring them to Christ. Are we willing to give 2 years of our lives to knowing God's Word like that? He was, and he is currently doing that. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense for everyone to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." Can we give people, can we explain to people why we have the hope that we have? It's one thing to say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but it's another reason to tell them why I'm a Christian. Why they need to be a Christian. It's more than just you just need to do it to be saved, because they don't understand what they need to be saved from. Can you tell them what they need to be saved from? Can you tell them what sin is? Souls depend. Not only our own personal soul, but the souls of others depends on our knowledge and what we know. Chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. Paul states that there are different roles within the Lord's church. But he says that all of those roles are for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. That we study, that we learn, that there are teachers in the Lord's church for the reason of equipping us, for giving us the knowledge and the things that we need. Why? So that the Lord's church, the body of Christ, might be built up. We are not here just to fill a pew. We are not here just to say we're Christians or to say I attended church. We are here to build the body of Christ. And if you're here for any other reason, you're here for the wrong reason. And Christ's body is built on His Word. And that's the blueprint. And if you don't know it, you don't know how to build. You cannot fulfill your purpose. Verse 16 shows that this is a group effort, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual. What each person, each individual part doing its part, proper working, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. What causes it? Every individual taking seriously what is going on in the Lord's church and being part of that. You know, we are built up together. The best way that we grow spiritually, the best way that we learn spiritually is learning and growing together. God gave us the church for a reason. He didn't put us out there on our own for a reason. He put us together for a reason. Because very few people are disciplined enough to learn on their own. There was a preaching school that used to do a tape ministry, and it was a great ministry. And they had all these tapes and all these classes that you could take, and you could get your preaching degree just by doing those tapes. And the man was asked, how many of you sent out? He said, I sent out 17,000 tapes. 17,000 tapes. Follow-up question. How many people finished? 17,000 tapes. Let's go there again. You know how many people finished? 8. 17,000. 8. Because we just are not disciplined usually enough to just do it all on our own. We need some pushing, right? We need some edifying. We need some people helping us. And that's what the Lord's church is about. That's what Bible class is about. It gets us together. It helps us work together and learn together and move each other along together. Max Jukes was a man who did not believe in God, did not believe in Bible education of his children. He married a woman that did not believe in God, did not believe in the Bible education of his children. Out of that union came 1,206 descendants. 300 died prematurely. 100 were sent to prison for an average of 13 years each. 190 were prostitutes. 100 were drunks. And they cost the state that they lived in over $1.2 million. During the same time, in the same state, Jonathan Edwards, who believed in God, believed in teaching his children the things of God, married a woman who believed in God and believed in teaching children the things of God. And they had 729 descendants from their union. 300 were preachers. 65 were professors. 13 were university presidents. 60 were authors of good books. 3 were United States congressmen. And they cost the same state $0. The understanding and the knowledge of God's Word makes a difference. Makes a difference in our parenting. Makes a difference in our life. Makes a difference in our descendants and what they will be one day. You know, we can look in the Bible and we can see how that mistakes in parenting had a long shadow. Abraham's mistakes. As good a man as Abraham was, the mistakes that he made in parenting cast a long shadow of evil, didn't it? Down through his descendants. Isaac would say tell the same lies that Abraham told. Ishmael and Isaac, and that mistake by Abraham is one that is still seen in our world to this very day. We make a difference in what we decide is important to teach our children. And let me tell you what, if we don't bring our children to Bible class, we just teach them Bible's not important. Church is not important. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1 tells us to press on toward maturity. And we need to take advantage of every opportunity to press on toward spiritual maturity because we need it. We need to continuously grow and move forward and closer to Jesus Christ. Second, Bible class helps you prepare for greater service. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 says, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Commit to faithful Christians the knowledge that they can use to bring others to Christ. Our job is to commit the knowledge of this book to each other. That is our purpose. For if we do that, all the other things we talk about takes care of themselves. Why is it so hard for us to evangelize? Most of the time, this is what I hear, "I don't know enough." Yeah. And it's probably an honest assessment. But it's not a good excuse. Because we have this. Most of us have them in our homes. All we have to do is open them. All we have to do is love God with all of our minds. As he talked about, loving him with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving him with your intellect. Giving your knowledge and your intellect to him. And we will be the people that God wants us to be. We are to commit those things. Such knowledge will drive us to take that knowledge and use it for God. Because see, that knowledge builds faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. That knowledge builds faith. And faith is what does in our lives. It's what is active in our lives. It's what pushes us to do in our lives. And if we have very little knowledge, we have very little faith, and we'll do very little. But if we have great knowledge, we will have great faith, and we will do great things for the Lord. You cannot take it out. Just saying, "I love God and I'm a good person, I'm a loving person," doesn't mean you have faith. Faith is about knowing God's Word. Bible class is a key place for that to be garnered. Do we need better people in our world? Sure we do. It comes through God's Word. Do we need less worry in our lives? Sure we do. Faith that comes from God's Word is knowledge that lessens our worries. Do we need more dedication? Dedication will come from people knowing and using God's Word. Do we need better character in people? We need the character of God as it is laid forth in the Bible. Statistics show that those who do not attend Bible class are lost to the remainder of the church program with very few exceptions. That's a church growth statistic fact. That if people do not attend Bible class, they are rarely ever involved to any degree, really, in the rest of the church work. If it's not important to even be here to study, it's not important to do much of anything else, probably, in my people's minds. Such people are not involved in the church. They have no interest in God's Word, and that carries over into no interest in God's work. You know, we need to understand the importance of Bible class. And we need to understand about being engaged in it. You know, there was a fine gentleman at Bear Valley, and he said, "I want to teach a new class." And they were like, "Okay, what do you want to teach?" He said, "I want to teach the four-year class." He said, "I want to teach all the people that are coming in during class late and all the people that are sitting in the four-year. I want to go out there and teach the four-year class." He said, "I bet I'd surprise them if I popped up with a podium out in the four-year and started teaching. Might have to move to the parking lot class after that, right?" Let's hope not. And he wanted to teach the four-year class. And we need to understand that importance. People say that Bible class is not important. And folks, that's a lie. They say that you can be faithful and strong without attending Bible class, and that's a lie. Paul Harvey, some years back, talked about someone lied to us. He said, "You know, someone told us that if we taught sex and gave condoms out in our school, sexual crime would decrease." Someone lied to us. It's doubled. He said, "Someone told us that our schools would be better without God if we just worked on teaching them knowledge." Someone lied to us. Now our schools are full of drugs and violence. He says, someone said, "Treat criminals kinder and gentler," right? And the violent crimes would go down. Someone lied to us, for they doubled. You know, the devil loves lying to us, doesn't he? Don't believe it. Bible class is important, no matter what anybody, and especially what the devil says. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says that we are to be a living sacrifice. We're literally to give our lives to God, holy, that we might show that what is in this book is good and right by the lives that we live, by the things that we do and the things that we know. But we've got to know those things. A little boy one night fell out of his bed, and he was crying, and his mother came in, and she said, "Baby, what happened?" He said, "I guess I went to sleep too near where I got in." So many times, people get in to the Lord's church, and they don't come to Bible class, and they don't study, and they don't think studying God's Word is important, and they fall asleep too near where they got in. And as a result, they fall out, just like the little boy. Now, third, we should recognize that Bible class has to do with submitting to the elders. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 says, "Obey those that have the rule over you." It doesn't say when you agree with it. It doesn't say when you like it. It doesn't say when you think it's proper. It says to obey those that have the rule over you. And that is specifically in that text talking about elders. They keep watch for your souls, the text goes on to say, and they do that through teaching, through feeding us spiritually. And they have determined that certain times are needed for us to learn from God's Word, Bible class. And we are to obey them. They have determined that that is an important part of their watching out for our souls. And it says to not, the verse goes on to say that not obeying them is unprofitable to us. You know, we will not benefit from their God-ordained guidance. And we will cause them grief, and grief for God's shepherds, because they are concerned about people's indifference. I know they are. I know the men here. I know them well. And I know they're bothered. And I'm bothered. And I would hope that any faithful Christian is bothered that there's a 50 to 60 person difference between our Bible class and our worship time. That should bother us. That should grieve us. And when we do those things, we do grieve other members, we grieve elders, and we grieve our God. You cannot be a faithful member while not following the shepherds that God has put over you. Nathan didn't say that. God said that. You know, we make a choice as to whether we want to obey those that God has ordained to be our shepherds. To not do so makes us rebellious, not just toward the elders, but makes us rebellious toward the God that put them there. In conclusion, Bible class. Just think about it. We're studying the best book, right? We're studying the best book on the best day. Today's a great day with the family of God. We're not only studying the best book on the best day, but we're studying that best book on the best day with the best people. I believe the best people in the world are sitting right here this morning. God's people. We are a part of the best institution. And we are learning how to accomplish the greatest purposes this world has. Why in the world would I not want to be here? You know, it also comes down to just setting a good example at times. It really does. Do people see you living what you would try to tell them they need to live? Or are we hypocrites? I can tell you about two real quick. Song service ran over. I didn't get up here to 20 after. There ain't no way I'm preaching 10 minutes. I told Chris that if he ran over, I was going to tell on him. Let me tell you about two ladies. My sisters. Not my sisters in Christ. They are my sisters in Christ, but my physical sisters. One sister came, you know, when she got into college, she just kind of came when she wanted. She's part of that 7%. My parents were both very active, but she's part of that 7% that didn't. She was kind of sporadic. She came to church, and if something else got in the way, she'd skip. And you know, me and her, we didn't get along at times because I would say something. She didn't like that. She never brought anybody to Christ going sporadically. My other sister went every time she was supposed to go. She should go. She went to Bible class. She got a new roommate. And this new roommate had decided, I will go to church with her only if she asks me to go, but otherwise I ain't going. This roommate did not attend church. My sister on a Wednesday night for Bible class, no less. My sister invited her to go and she went. A few months later, she obeyed the gospel of Christ, not because she had a Bible study. She went to Bible class. That girl continued to go to Bible class and learned in Bible class what she needed to know to be saved. Did you know that 80% of all people that come to Christ as a result of Bible class? Did you know that? That's a statistic. That's a fact. 80%. She went to Bible class. She learned on her own and she wanted to become a child of God. And a year and a half later, I married her. Right? See, one made a difference because the example she set of going to church. Not only going, but willing to ask someone else to go with her. You know, Warren Wilcox, one of the finest gospel preachers I've ever known, died a few years back. Warren's daddy, one day when they were young, and they kind of went to church whenever, whatever, as long as nothing got in the way. But one Sunday, something was said. Warren said, I was young, I was probably 8 or 9, he said, but... I don't really remember what my daddy may have heard that Sunday morning, but he said he heard something, and we got home and he asked the family to all come in the living room, and he said, we are never going to miss another worship service in Bible class. And Warren trained preachers for 40 years. No telling the impact his life has had, but it very possibly had its beginnings in a parent making the right decision for their child's spiritual well-being. We are going to church. My brothers and sisters and me were in high school, and we did all kinds of activities too. And I can tell you there was more than once that my daddy walked up to teachers and coaches and band directors and said, "My child will not be there. They will be at church." He didn't send us to tell them. He went and told them. And we were taught that God's church is more important than school, because He showed that example. Well, Nathan, it's hard to get up. I bet you people aren't as late for work as they are for church. We will not be late for a boss, but we will be late for God. Reminds me of Malachi when he said, "You wouldn't offer these sacrifices to your governor, but you'll give them to me, and I won't accept it." As one old preacher said, set more alarms, right? If the one don't get you up, have 3 or 4 more set. They just keep going off till you get up. Get those children out of bed. My daddy had 4 kids. And yes, it was a strain on him, and he aged 20 years getting us to church on time. But he got us there. And so can you. Those are not excuses. Those are just laziness. And we don't want to do that at God's expense. This morning, if you're not a child of God, we hope and pray that you'll choose to become one, because these are the best people, and this is the greatest life. But it is a life with purpose, and it's a purpose that's learned. A purpose that's learned in God's Word. And it is the greatest purpose. All other things in life pale to insignificance in the light of the purpose of a child of God. I want you to become one this morning. See, you can by believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, and confessing Jesus is the Son of God, and being buried in baptism. Now, you may be sitting there and you may not know what those things mean, and this really isn't a venue for you to ask me right now, "Nathan, what does that mean?" Bible class is. It's a great place. You want to ask that question in Bible class? Well, I'll go. We'll spend a couple of weeks on it. No, as fast as I go. But if you don't understand this morning, but you know you need to do something, you come find me after services. You come ask one of these people around you, and we'll sit down with you and we'll study the Bible with you so that you can know how to become the greatest thing, the thing for which you were put on this earth to be, and that is a child of God. If you already know what you need to do and you understand that, we hope and pray that you'll do it. If you're a child of God this morning, and maybe you've forgotten how important it is to know God's Word. You cannot know God if you do not know His Word, for He is revealed there. Rededicate your life today. May a part of that be that you are here for Bible class. Take advantage of every opportunity. No, we're not always the greatest teachers. We may not always meet up to your standard of what you think a teacher should be. But at least we're trying. At least we're here. And that's more than can be said of some. God bless those that are. This morning, if you need the prayers of the congregation, if you need the forgiveness of sins in a public way, we hope and pray that you will come as we stand now and as we sing.